It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The most produced playwright in American schools has roots in Wisconsin. Don Zelaitis has written over 150 plays for young people.
Zelaitis grew up in Janesville, and that's where his inspiration for writing started, making fun of what he saw in the classroom.
I would make fun of things that were happening in my school, and that was the creative outlet for me. My friends always enjoyed reading these rather satirical stories that I would write about my middle school teachers. So I apologize to my middle school teachers out there.
Chances are, apology accepted. As a former grade school teacher, Zelaitis knows what gets students excited to perform.
His new one-act play is called The Price, and he joins us to talk about his body of work. Don, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What do you take into consideration when writing a play for youth versus writing a play for adults?
Well, it's almost the same process. I really try to utilize all of my skill, all of my talent, everything that I would write in a play for adults, I put it in a play for young people. I don't try and limit myself for, vocabulary or complexity. I'm really just trying to tell a story that might appeal to younger people, but doesn't insult their intelligence, isn't cheesy, doesn't speak down to them.
How do you approach topics that are difficult in your plays, like, for instance, social media or cyberbullying or mental health with young people?
The thing I think about the most is trying to be truthful and honest. Young people know if you're not telling the truth. And I think telling the truth is often complicated and it's often not simple. So I think when I'm dealing with a difficult subject matter, I am just trying to be honest, be truthful, and really deal with multiple sides of things. I think where sometimes plays for young people get this reputation of being, simple or child stuff is when they try to simplify something that is actually much more complex.
And would you write in different characters who have different perspectives, or how would you go about that in your cast development?
Well, that's a great thing that theater does probably better than any other art form, is that it's able to show multiple sides of the same subject. So often, if there is a difficult conundrum in a play, you can put people on both sides of that argument. And ideally, both of those sides are correct, and both of those sides are believed in by the people who are arguing them. So a play really isn't something that provides answers. A play is something that questions a subject. So in that sense, when you have multiple perspectives, you're really able to get into the different facets of an argument. So for instance, one of the plays that I wrote is about the Badger Munitions Factory in Wisconsin. I set it during World War II, and there's a moment in the play where the women ordnance workers who are there at the plant are realizing that they're not being paid the same amount of money as the men. So there's a movement among some of them to strike for better wages or fair wages or equal wages to the men. Whereas on the other side, there's other people who are arguing that going on strike in a munitions factory during a war will harm people that they care and love about. So the play doesn't really take a side in that argument. The play presents the argument, and the people who are arguing are passionate and they believe in what they're arguing for, and they make very good points. But that's a thing that's left to the audience to discover and to think about what they really think about that issue.
And the Badger Army Ammunition Plant, this is that large munitions factory during World War II in Freedom, Wisconsin. And so you're taking this piece of history and turning it into a play. And as you mentioned there, history is sensitive. It can be interpreted through so many different lenses. So how do you work with that when it's taking a stage production here, but also having to hold a piece of real history in it as the center?
I think you have to, as a playwright, you have to have an empathetic imagination, which means you have to imagine what it's like to be somebody else and to have a different perspective. I started out as an actor, and one of the great things about being a playwright is essentially you get to act all the parts in the show when you're writing it. So I'm trying to imagine circumstances of being different kinds of people when I'm writing a play like Badger. People who lived in a different time, people of a different age, different gender. And in order to access, you know, what I'm going to call truth, I have to really try to be honest and imagine those circumstances. And I think if you do that well, the characters are going to seem fleshed out and real and three-dimensional and interesting to play. And of course, once a performer gets in that role, whether it's a teenager or an adult or whether they're in Wisconsin or somewhere else, they're going to bring their own perspective to that part and they're going to imbue it with something from themselves. And it's going to be a different kind of performance than anything else.
Don Zelaitis is with us, one of the most prolific playwrights in American schools, has written more than 150 plays. How do you stay disciplined and just keep your creative juices flowing?
Well, I tell this to kids all the time, that people think that creativity is a talent. It's something that you're born with. But I think that creativity is a skill, which means that it's something that you can get better at the more you do it. So, for instance, I'm constantly coming up with ideas for new shows, and that's kind of how I spend my day. And since I've done so much of it, I'm actually quite good at coming up with ideas at this point in time. So because I've exercised that muscle so much, I always feel like there's more ideas to come.
You sometimes work with high schools on the production of your plays. What do you learn from those experiences?
Oh, those are fantastic. I love being in rehearsal with groups that are doing a new show. Probably they're premiering a play. And it's great to be able to first exercise that part of myself that was a director and teacher and being able to work with people directly again. And also you learn a lot about the play itself and rehearsal, parts that are weaker, parts that are stronger. And when you have 20 teenagers in a show and you're trying to get the language to sound like teenagers, they're a very good gauge of whether or not you're just a middle-aged old man trying to sound young or whether it sounds authentic to them or not. So sometimes that's very helpful.
Does it help you to see your play staged to know, like what you said, what's working in the script, what might need tweaking? My thought is, like, you would have that tendency to be like, ooh, why did I write it that way?
Yeah, I think, you know, what really happens is things get cut. That's probably what happens the most in rehearsal, is that you realize you've said things three times and you don't only need to say it once, or that the audience is following you and you don't need to belabor the point anymore. So you're usually shrinking the show while you're doing it, which sometimes causes consternation because kids are very possessive of the number of lines they have in a play. Like, I have 27 lines, and then you're cutting three of them and they're like, no. So you have to be a little gentle with it and be like, we're just trying to improve the play and, you know, hone it down. And I'm sorry that I'm cutting this one line that you were very attached to.
You were very passionate about. I noticed you convert a lot of your plays to one acts. What is the power of a one act play?
So one acts are usually how I started writing plays for young people. And what it was is I would be teaching middle school and I would want to rehearse a play during class time and then ultimately perform it during a class period. So I would have essentially 40 minutes, which gave people about like 7 minutes to get to the auditorium and 7 minutes to leave. So that would be a time frame that I'd be working in. And I think a lot of teachers out there do the same thing that I did, which is try and rehearse a play during a theater class, for instance. There's also things, this happens in Wisconsin too, there are one-act play competitions. So there are festivals where a bunch of schools will go and they will all perform a one-act play, like 30 to 40 minute play. And then they're judged by a judge or judges, And then there's a competition aspect to it. So a lot of professional playwrights don't write for that length of time. So there's not a lot of material out there for schools that want to do this.
Can you peel back the curtain, if you will, on how it works with the licensing of your plays, and whether you feel adequately compensated as the writer? And at the same time, is the work accessible for school theater programs, and what's affordable for them?
In general, most of my plays are published by publishers, and those are also holding the rights. So when a school wants to do a show, they apply to the publisher for the right to perform it. And a school will pay a royalty for each performance that they want to do. Now, for a one-act play, that might be $50 or $60 a performance. So it's not a lot of money. And then I get a portion of that. So I'm published with six different publishing companies at this point. So schools can find the plays online, they get catalogs, and then they also get emails from me every once in a while telling them about new shows. And I think that if you're charging $5 a ticket to come see the play, for instance, it's pretty easy to make your money back on a one-act play or even a full-length play. They're not that expensive to do. It's not like a big musical that might cost a school $10,000 to get the rights for or something like that.
Wow, that's quite a difference. Is there a lot of difference between the costs of these licensing fees for these scripts?
There are. I mean, there are. If you're trying to do the biggest, hottest Broadway show that just came on the market.
Like Frozen, you know, it was a few years ago, right?
If Frozen, Hadestown, Harry Potter, things like that, they're pretty pricey for schools. It's not that they can't make their money back from them, but it's a bigger investment. But if you're a teacher and you want to do a play in your classroom and you want to do it with your kids that you're teaching, you might not have a large budget to go out and buy Frozen. You might need to do something a little less expensive.
Can we talk about your most recent work, The Price? And mm-hmm. This is about death. What would you like students to learn from it? And can you talk a little bit about the plot?
So it's a beautiful story. It's based on a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale, The Story of a Mother. If I go into the story too much, I'm going to cry. So it's probably the most beautiful fairy tale I've ever read. It's a story about a mother whose small child is sick and is taken by death one night. And the mother essentially hunts down death and chases after him to get her child back. And in the process of doing so, she has to give up everything. She actually trades her eyes away in order to get across a lake. She gives up her youth. She gives up her songs in order to hunt down death to get her child back. Hans Christian Andersen has some very melancholy stories. And there's a very beautiful moment in it where the mother finally makes her way to this greenhouse where there's a flower for every life in the world. And death is about to cut or pull up the flower that's her child's. And the mother, she grabs a random other flower and threatens to pull that one up instead. And death shows her what that life is that she was going to pull up. And it's this amazing, beautiful life of this person who lives 80 years. And there's this question that she asks, which is, why does one child get so little life and one child get so much? And I think, you know, that is a devastating thought. And it's a thought that, you know, if you're an adult in the audience, if you're a child in the audience, if you're elderly person in the audience, you can think that same thing, right? And the play doesn't give you an answer to that question, but it poses it. And I think that's the beauty of these amazing fairy tales, that you can have these incredibly deep, beautiful, powerful stories that are ostensibly aimed towards children, but they're really for all of us.
Do you find that your young actors have the ability to feel such profound sadness and feel that on stage and be able to really get to the heart of the drama.
I think they do. And I think that's part of not underestimating young people, because they're able to think and feel just as much as an adult.
Don, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful to be here today.
That is Wisconsin native Don Zelaitis, considered the most prolific playwright for young people. You can see productions of some of his plays next school year at Elkhorn Area High School, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, and other stages.